All right, welcome back to another episode of Callaway's Blueprint. This is episode 41. If this is the first time listening, a quick recap. Every week since I've gone full-time as a creator and entrepreneur, I've been writing a series called Blueprint. That's at blueprint.game if you want to check out the writtens. This is the audio version of episode 41. If you want to read along, go to blueprint.game. There's a lot of graphics and like helpful visuals in the email version. For this episode, we have four main topics. The first topic is week 41 metrics and head-scratching content experiments. So I ran a couple content experiments this week where the results were pretty interesting. So if you make content or you think about this stuff, it'll be very interesting to hear. The second topic is the insane story of Wesley Wang, Darren Aronofsky, and doing what you love. The third, two quick creator mindset boosts. And the last one is this new segment I'm adding called Callaway's Toy Box, which are anytime I use a creator tool that I find interesting, I'm gonna link it below and talk about why it's useful. I think sometimes tools can unlock the most leverage, so I'll include that. All right, so that's the summary for the topics today. Let's jump into it. So starting out with the content experiments. So when things are working, the game feels easy. You just do what you're already doing, you just do more of it. But when things stop working, you begin to question your game plan. Did I get worse? Did the world get better? Or did the game change altogether? Although it's usually a combination of the first two, I've started noticing a major macro shift. The content game has officially changed. And I'm not the only one that feels this. Alex Hormozi, if you know him, talked about it. I linked a video that I watched of his, 45 minutes. It's amazing, breaking down how he's shifting his content strategy. So I would check that out. Gary Vee talks about it, and on and on. The shift is from faster, shorter, louder, insane type content to slower, longer, normal, relatable type content. And as frustrating as it is for me to admit, my wife was right about this too. She was on this like 6 months ago, so I have to give her credit. What's my hypothesis for why this is happening? I think the average person has seen so much of the high retention, whiz bang, crazy stuff on screen content that it fried their brain and people are just sick of feeling brain dead. And so now people can recognize this style instantly and they will just scroll right past it whenever it comes on. How do I know this for sure? My short form videos have stopped performing as well as they used to. I used to get 10 million views per month with, I would say, lower quality videos. Like I would just pick a topic, let it rip for 3 hours and go, and I would get millions of views every single time. I'm now putting even more effort into my stuff now and it's not getting the same views and reach. And so either I got worse, the world got better, or something changed. I think it's all three, but specifically something changed. My flagship style is built around this high retention editing methodology to the point where as I edit, I'm literally thinking to myself, how can I make sure there's enough movement on the screen to retain the viewer? That's like my North Star. So I needed to test if this shift was real because as they say, the definition of insanity is just doing the same exact thing over and over and expecting a different result. If my content is going down in terms of reach and I want it to go up and I continue making the same style of content every single day over and over and over and it continues to be the same, something has to change. So I ran a couple experiments this week that are really interesting that I want to talk about. So the first one was around my video called Barstool for Business. So if you know Barstool Sports, they kind of created this crazy like pirate ship type vibe around sports content that really became all types of pop culture. And the reason they won sports media, in my opinion, is because they built their media company personality first, not content first. So my video is about, I think somebody could take this Barstool model and apply it to business media. All the business media is like super sleepy. There's nobody that's really owned the personality perspective. So that was what the video is about. So I had this topic. I had this idea that I thought was interesting and unique. I started by making a green screen style video, which you can watch on TikTok. If you go to my TikTok or you read the email, it's linked there. Green screen style videos, like the classic people record on their phone. There's just images changing in the background. They're like cut out in the corner. It was my first time making a video like that. I thought it was so bad and so cringy that I couldn't bring myself to post it on any other platform besides TikTok. Like I would say I care about my TikTok the least, and the way TikTok is structured, the least amount of your existing followers will see every new video. And so it's like, it's almost the least risk to put out something different. I thought it was so bad that I couldn't bring myself to put it on Instagram. I shot this video on my iPhone. I did not use a microphone. I just used the iPhone audio, me screaming into it. So it was super echoey. I edited it directly in CapCut. It took 2.5 hours to make, mostly because this was my first stab in this green screen style. So I think I could get this down to like less than an hour, but it ended up getting 6.1 thousand views on TikTok. So take that and just remember that. Then I took basically the same script, Same exact idea, same points, slightly more optimized, but like pretty much the same. And I created the Barstool for Business video again, but in my signature Callaway style. If you're listening to this and you've probably watched my videos, you know the style. It's like that split screen, pretty crisp quality, a lot of graphics flying around. So again, I've linked that. It's on my Instagram, on TikTok. Now that video took me 5 hours to make, which is way too long. And it got 11.6 thousand views on TikTok. So in the email, I break down the detailed metrics comparison between them. The normal Callaway style got almost 2 times the views, but the average watch time was lower and the amount of people that watched the full video was also lower. So the reason it got more views is just because it had significantly more saves and shares. You can also see in the graphic that the Callaway style had a longer half-life. I show the graph of the views per day. So the green screen style, it just spikes in the first day and then completely dies, which basically means the video is not that good of quality and it has no rewatch value. Versus my normal style one, the video over the first 3 days continues to ramp up, which is interesting. Unfortunately, like being the terrible scientist that I am, I didn't post this green screen version anywhere else because of my ego and fear of embarrassment. And I think it's worth noting that I did post the Callaway style video elsewhere. It got 26.7 thousand views on Instagram, immaterial views on YouTube and Snapchat, and then 176,000 views on Twitter. It kind of went viral on Twitter. So what are my main takeaways after experiment one? The first one is the green screen video style, if executed properly, and like if I know what I'm doing, might be a better ROI on my time, especially on TikTok. I need to test it more, but that's the first takeaway. The second takeaway is, if it wasn't for a random Twitter viral moment, my typical Callaway style version would have been just another average performer, 20,000, 30,000 views. And for me, who used to get 1 million views, 30,000 views is not gonna work. I have 200,000 followers on Instagram, 30,000 views is not gonna work. So I need to adjust my style. Something is signaling to me that what I'm doing is not optimal. So then came experiment number two, which was the real head scratcher for me. So this experiment was Mind Trip. So if you watch my video, you know what this is, but I found this cool AI travel platform called Mindtrip, and I thought it would crush in a video. Basically, if you haven't seen the videos, you go in, you kind of tell it where you want to go. It builds a full trip itinerary for you using AI. It's like really visual. It has a map view, a calendar view, and they're launching a bunch of other features which will allow creators to monetize by like sharing their trip itineraries. It's going to be very cool. So I thought it was interesting, worth making a video. So I spent another 5 hours making the Callaway style Mindtrip video, and it's linked. I posted on Instagram and it did pretty well. It got 42.3 thousand views. But on TikTok, it only got 569 views, less than 1,000 views. So that's tough, right? 5 hours of work for only 569 views is so crazy to me because I thought this video was a banger and it just didn't work on TikTok. So last night, which was Saturday, I decided to run the ultimate experiment. I came home at 7 p.m. Pacific and I recorded a handheld iPhone version of the Mindtrip video. If you're listening, you should go to TikTok and watch this video. It's like my most recent video. I tried to make it as bad as possible while still being good. So I had terrible audio, terrible lighting, handheld the phone, pointing at my computer screen, shaking. I had stock captions. I had no graphics. I had no music. Literally everything I could do to make it not good while making the pacing good enough to retain a user. I then posted it at the worst possible time, Saturday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Nobody's watching content at that time. Everybody's doing stuff on Saturday night. I'm telling you, I wanted this thing to flop harder than my dad at a Carnival Cruise Lido deck pool. I wanted it so bad to fail. And what do you know? That video right now has 5.3 thousand views on TikTok, 9.4 times more views than my super polished Callaway style. So I'm scratching my head, right? Because this tells me that the handheld relatable style will perform significantly better if I execute it well on TikTok. But my hunch is that we're seeing a divergence in optimal styles across platforms. I used to think that I hacked the game by choosing to make short form videos because I could make a single video, post it everywhere, and then grow everywhere. It was like a hack, cheat code. But this, I'm realizing, does not work anymore. Because I know for a fact that that handheld shaky iPhone style is not gonna work on YouTube Shorts, and I don't think it's gonna work on Instagram unless I up the graphics. So this is a really interesting takeaway. If you make content, I don't think one short video everywhere is gonna work. You either have to pick one platform and go all in on that, or you have to take the idea and make the video multiple times. And the last thing I wanna mention in this section is, if I'm being honest with myself, the reason why I make the type of videos that I make, that like Callaway style with the graphics, it's honestly mostly ego-driven. I think they look dope visually. But when I watch them back and I try to take the cinematic visual aspect out of it, it is pretty hard to understand what I'm talking about. Like, it's not clear enough. The story gets really clouded by all the visuals and all the motion. And I realize that now as I'm reflecting and watching it back, it feels like an ad. It doesn't feel authentic. Versus when you watch this handheld, poorly shot one, the messaging is so much clearer because you're just waiting for me to say, you're watching the captions and waiting for me to say something. The visuals are not distracting you. The reality is people that say, oh, that looks cool, are not going to share. People that say, oh, that's valuable, will share. And my cinematic style is, it's not always valuable. The reason I share this in this blueprint, and I know I've gotten really tactical here. Hopefully I still got everybody. The reason I write this is because A, I want to win, and I'm assuming if you listen to this, you want to win too with content, and B, it's clear to me that there is a better approach than what I'm using right now, which is basically max the visual quality and try to make it look as cinematic as possible with like clear storytelling. That's not working. So I'm going to keep iterating and try to find some style that marries both. I think if I go fully green screen or fully handheld, I just become one of everything else. I lose the sauce that makes me special. And yeah, maybe those go viral once in a while, but like it doesn't stand out. So I need to find something that's a signature visually signature to me, but way easier to digest and follow. So that's kind of the short form experiment I ran. The other thing I wanted to mention quickly that I wrote about is I've been trying to figure out what the right combination of content is on a given topic. So let's take Mind Trip, for example. I found Mind Trip. I thought it was cool. I had like an interesting take. Is the right combination of things just to do a short form video and the call to action is like to drive to their landing page and I get nothing for that and I just drive to their landing page. Is the right combination to do a short form video plus me write a deeper newsletter just about Mind Trip and try to drive people to that email from the short? Or is the combination to do a short form and then a long form on YouTube and I try to like use the short to drive to, like, what is the right combination? Because just doing the short form, the half-life is so short that after the first couple of days, you're losing the value of that content. And so, you know, as I've talked about before with ramps, you want to get people from one platform to another to like build cult fandom. So I'm trying to figure out like what is the right combo. So I spent some time this weekend writing a newsletter post on Mind Trip to kind of simulate. I wanted to understand what would be the level of effort if I were to write that for every video I make or like once a week. And my thinking is that if I made the Mind Trip short and then the call to action, either in a pinned caption or within the video at the end, is if you want to learn more about how I'd make Mind Trip a household name, check this out. And it would kind of take people to this blog post. They'd maybe subscribe to Blueprint and it would grow the newsletter. That's kind of what I was thinking. So I actually wrote one of those posts. If you like my writing and you want to kind of read my approach on that, it was kind of like, I'm CEO for the day for Mind Trip. Here's my product ideas, my content ideas. Like, here's why I think strategically it'll win. You can check that out. blueprint.game/p/mindtrip, I think is the link, or it's in the written. So check that out. But I'm trying to figure that out as well, because I think that's really important. If you have a good idea, just making a short form video on it and then letting that die after 3 days, even if it gets a million views, you're not actually getting the juice out of that video for building owned audience or like monetizing that in any way. And so it almost feels like you're just working really hard to spin a wheel that's then going to stop spinning. All right, let's go to the second section, which is the insane story of Wesley Wang. This is a quick one, but this story went viral on Twitter. A 19-year-old kid at Harvard, Wesley Wang, directed this insane movie in high school. He put it on YouTube, and I linked it in the newsletter so you can check it out. This video, I don't think it did super well right away, but then it just recently went nuclear on YouTube. And Darren Aronofsky, who's a famous director, The Wrestler, Black Swan, The Whale, like this guy's a big guy, went to Harvard. He sent this hilarious email to Wesley. It just says, watched your film, can you drop out of Harvard, DSA, which is just like the most baller email. So Wesley, at 19 years old, is dropping out of Harvard. He's now going to be the youngest director in history to set up a movie at a major studio. He's adapting that YouTube video for the big screen. And I love this for so many reasons. I just want to call this out. The movie thing, him being the youngest, the emails, hilarious. It's all super inspiring. But the big takeaway is that this is a reminder to spend time doing what you actually love to do. He actually loves filming movies. He's been making movies since he's 11 years old, because serendipity happens for those that continue pulling on the strings of their authentic interest. You have to make sure you're doing what you actually love to do. Spend time doing what you love to do. I hope Wesley crushes this movie. That's it for this kind of topic. I just wanted to call that out. I thought it was a really cool story. All right, the third section is creator mindset boosts. So last week I did a bit about this. I had two creator mental frameworks I thought were interesting. So here's just two quick, you know, mental things I've been thinking about that actually I found pretty helpful. So the first one is, where does anxiety come from? Growing up, I was lucky enough to never have anxiety. I didn't really even know what anxiety was until I graduated from college and started working full-time. Within my first week of working as a management consultant, I knew that I hated that job and immediately felt this overwhelming sense of work anxiety, what I'm calling work anxiety. I've always had this burning desire to quote unquote succeed, but I didn't know where I should channel my effort to make it happen. All I knew is that my consulting job was not it. And I think a lot of people feel this work anxiety all the time. So in an attempt to try to figure out a solve for it, I sat with this question: where does work anxiety actually come from? Let's say you have $100,000 in the bank today and you want to eventually have 100 million. Most people would think anxiety comes from the acknowledgement of the distance between where you are today and where you want to be, the distance between the 100K and the 100 million. And that feeling of standing at the bottom, looking up Money Mountain and saying, damn, that's a long way, that's what creates anxiety. But that's actually not it. Because what creates the anxiety is adding the time dimension. It's you saying, I need to have 100 million by X time. And as social media becomes a bigger part of our lives and we see more and more people that are younger than us closing their own success gaps faster, we feel more and more urgency to close ours immediately. And the adding of that time, that urgency, the time constraint is what makes us feel the anxiety, not the distance. So what I'm wondering is, why don't we just remove the time constraint? Because when most successful people reflect on their path, they often reference this concept of playing in decades. What does that actually mean? There's 3,650 days in a decade. So to play in decades means to not care if certain success benchmarks are hit in any specific time. Years can pass by without moving the needle at all, and you'd still win on a decade's time frame. So I think continually reminding yourself of this and trying to remove the time constraint from your success goals is a super helpful exercise that will minimize that work anxiety. The second little helpful frame is around drive. So I consider myself hyper-driven. If you ask any of my friends, I've always been trying to make some venture work ever since I was 18 years old. It's possible that being hyper-driven is a suboptimal way to live. If you ask my wife, she'd say for sure is. I would say it's very possible. In fact, the more time I spend reflecting, the more I realize that there is no optimal way to live. There is just your nature, which is who you are, your nurture, which is what you were taught in the past, and then your inputs, which is what you're taught in the present. And your optimal life is the best fit approach to maximize your unique combo of those three things. One thing I am quite sure of, though, is that drive atrophies when it's not being consistently used. Drive is like a muscle. It must be flexed consistently to remain strong. Possibly the worst part of a long-term hospital stay is not the mental battle of healing, although I'm sure that's brutal to go through. It's the unexpected muscular atrophy and the required re-strengthening of the uninjured muscles because they went so long without being used. That's what really is stressful. Drive is the same. So if a hyper-driven life suits your unique nature, don't wait too long to use that drive. All right, fourth section, Callaway's Toy Box. This one, if you're interested in anything I talk about, make sure to check out the written because it's all linked here. I'm gonna put this at the bottom of every newsletter when I'm playing with tools or finding tools that are interesting. I think you get a lot of leverage on new tools. So the first is YouTube tools. I pay for both of these right now. The first one is called Thumbnail Test, which you can upload as many different title thumbnail combinations and it will automatically cycle through them as tests when you publish a YouTube video. And then it will pick the best combo based on the click-through rate, all the metrics that matter. Every YouTuber that I know is using this. If you're trying to take YouTube seriously, I would use this. The other tool is 1of10, 1of10.com. YouTube is essentially a game of coming up with unique video ideas in your category that have the best chance of outperforming. So 1of10 is this super smart tool, very cool visual tool for helping you come up with unique video ideas and trying to find out in your category what was unique in the past. All right, another tool around offshore talent. So you see all these companies, Shepherd, Oceans, all these like offshoring, they're hiring people in the Philippines for an arbitrage. If you wanna do this, but you don't wanna pay their markup, just go to onlinejobs.ph. This is the main Philippines job board. So if you're trying to hire someone in the Philippines, could be a thumbnail designer, video editor, virtual assistant, but you don't want to pay that insane markup, just go to this website. Now, I will warn you, it's like $69 for a job post to go full reach. This is going to come back with hundreds of applications and they're not all great. So you're going to have to go through and sort through this. But I've tried this and it does give you a lot of candidates quickly. The last thing I'll mention is that I wrote here is my supplement stack. So I'm in the best shape of my life right now. And this is exactly what I'm taking. In the morning, within the first 30 minutes of waking up, I'm taking 30 grams of whey protein from BPN, Bear Performance Nutrition. The chocolate peanut butter flavor is insane. If you like peanut butter, it's amazing. So I'll take that right away. I'll do meditation. And then right before I go to the gym, the pre-workout I take is, it's combining Element, which is the electrolyte packets, with Optimum Nutrition Amino Energy. It's basically like this kind of lightweight pre-workout. It has a little bit of caffeine, a little bit of boost, but like zero sugar. It doesn't give you the jitters. So I take that, I go to the gym. When I come home from the workout, I take vitamin C tablets, and then I take the Create creatine gummies. These are so good, and creatine is like one of the best things you should be taking if you're trying to get stronger. And so the gummy, I don't really like the powder. The gummy format's the best. And then I do my work day, and then pre-bed, 1 hour before bed, I'm taking the Momentous Sleep Supplement Stack, which is the Huberman recommended stack. It's apigenin, magnesium threonate, inositol, and L-theanine. And they have, the Momentous has like a nice stack where you can get them all in a bundle. So I'm taking that. But those are the tools and kind of like unique protocols that I'm using right now that I'm really liking. I'll continue to update this. So that's it for this episode of the audio. Make sure if you like this, if you found this and you're not subscribed to the email, you should be subscribed. So just go to blueprint.game and make sure to subscribe. And as always, I'm looking for feedback. I'm not sure how well this, especially the top section, translated to audio, but if you listen to this, you like it, and it seems to be something that's in your rotation that you really look forward to, please reach out, Callaway@wavylabs.co. Shoot me an email, leave me feedback, give me suggestions. I'm always looking for feedback. So appreciate you guys. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.